Pittsburgh and beyond. Welcome to episode 13 of Yins Are Good, the podcast that shares your stories of times when someone changed your life for the better. I am your host, Tressa Glover, and I'm hoping you're having a good day so far. And if you're not, then I'm hoping that this episode can lift you up even just a little bit. And let me tell you, it's a good one. If you've been feeling the need to help others, to lend a hand in some way, to do something for those in need, you've come to the right episode. We'll be hearing from Ashley Real, founder of the Good People Network. And they, as they say on their website, they promote opportunities for you to flex your good people muscles in and around the community. From individual volunteering to unique fundraising events, we have an idea for everyone to become more engaged. They are, as I think of it, a one-stop shop for all of your volunteering or donating needs. But they are here to help you find ways to help others. Talk about yins being good. And we have a wonderful story from one of yins that I know you're going to love. So that's coming up as well. Oh, and of course, we have our first Name That Neighborhood with one of yins as my special guest. Tom Baker was up for the challenge, so you'll find out just how he did. Please keep on sending in those stories, either by leaving us a voicemail on our automated system, 1-833-399-GOOD, or send us an email to yinsaregood@gmail.com. And don't forget to check our Facebook and Instagram pages for more fill-in-the-blank opportunities to share your stories there. And also keep spreading the word about the podcast. If you love it, if you love listening, please keep telling your friends, associates, strangers in a coffee shop. You know, whatever works for you. And I do have one programming note regarding our previous episode, episode 12, and Pittsburgh Then and Now, who they are awesome and on Instagram, and you should follow them. When I was introducing them, I said that the gentleman's name who runs that is George Suckup. It is not. It is Charles Suckup. Everywhere else on our website, in print, his name was correct as Charles. And for some reason, when I said it out loud, I called him George. And I caught it, but it was after the episode had been published and there wasn't a way for me to fix it. And I immediately did apologize to Charles, who was very gracious. But I, of course, wanted to make that note for all of you. So Charles Suckup, Pittsburgh Then and Now. Check them out on Instagram. And I think, without further ado, let's get to the good stuff. Our story comes from Joe, who is a student at Duquesne University and lives on campus there. Joe writes, "Hey, I have an awesome story for you. I was skateboarding in downtown Pittsburgh in a plaza skating when I saw a policeman approach me. I was polite and picked up my board and said, 'Sorry, man, I'll leave.' He responded with, 'No, you're good, man. I'm cool. I actually skate here and there, too.' I was taken back by the humaneness of this awesome cop, and I said, 'So you got a kickflip?' I hand my board to him, and he totally nails this kickflip. With all the gear and boots, too. This was so impressive. I have so much respect for police now. He also opened my mind and made me realize that anyone can skateboard. It brings people together, and that's something I'm really about." Since then, Officer Harris inspired me in a way to help others learn to skate so it can bring more people together and spread a little love. Now I'm making skate tutorials on TikTok. I'm just trying to spread love through skateboarding. And Joe sent the link to his TikTok video of Officer Harris doing that kickflip, and I've included it in our show notes, so please be sure to check that out. And Joe, thank you for sharing this story. And Joe, as I mentioned, is a student at Duquesne, and that would be in the Uptown neighborhood of the Pittsburgh area. But Joe, your enthusiasm, not just for skateboarding, but for the interaction you had with Officer Harris and, you know, for wanting to bring people together, it is so clear and it's contagious, really. So please keep teaching others and keep spreading the love. And of course, thank you to Officer Harris. Yins are good. All right, get ready to learn a whole bunch about how to help your fellow Pittsburgher and about the health benefits of giving. What? It's a science show now? Not really, but this is our How Can We Help Yins segment. I'm still playing around with that title, but that's what I like for today. This is my interview with Ashley Reel of the Good People Network. I had such a great time talking with her. We could have talked for hours. But get ready to listen to some truly fabulous stuff. Take some notes. Enjoy. I know that you are a Pittsburgher. So what neighborhood, because we love to talk, you know, we talk a lot about our Pittsburgh neighborhoods on the show. So which neighborhood are you from originally, or where do you live now?
I'm on the east side of Pittsburgh. So currently I'm in Wilkins Township, but we venture into Shadyside and Braddock and East Liberty. We're all over mostly on the east side. But
yeah, do you have any favorite spots you like to go, or before this year? I still have to catch myself, but
favorites? I mean, even now we're at Commonplace all the time. Commonplace Coffee, they've got locations all around the city, so we hit them all up, but definitely we're in the Point Breeze location all the time.
Nice. Yeah, they're awesome. So I first found out about the Good People Network on Instagram. I saw your page and followed you, and it was actually when I went to your website, and I just loved what you have written under there, under, I should say, who we are. And for our audience, it says, we believe in the power of small acts of kindness, engaging in community organizations, and living every day as good people. Not only is it beneficial for those around us, but science says it's good for ourselves, too. And I was like, well, I need to know more about these good people and, and, you know, share their story, you know, to all of those who may not know about you. So what if we just start off with, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and how the Good People Network got going?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm a local Yinzer myself. I have three young kids. And at the time that I came up with this idea of the Good People Network, it was 2017. And I had just an emotional roller coaster of a year. I had lost a dear close family member to substance abuse. I took on some really large, challenging projects at work. I moved. I had a second baby. And the news was just down and just not a fun place for me to be in. And I was feeling bad a lot. And so I felt like a lot of things were out of my control. But one thing that was in my control was the energy and the actions that I personally could put. So while I can't fix the world, I can help make it a little bit better. And so I had this thought of, well, why don't I just dedicate time and energy into meeting nonprofits in the area and really finding ways that I could help and do things. And at the same time, I thought, you know, I have a lot of friends who are kind of in the same place right now that maybe I can share some of these things that these nonprofits and organizations are doing. And then those friends can join in and they can learn about, oh, I'm really passionate about moms and families. Oh, I could learn more about the diaper bank, or I could learn about Foster Love Project or Jeremiah's Place. There's just so many really great organizations in the community that I wanted to share what they're doing. And so I set up an Instagram account, the Good People Network, and I just shared what I was doing and a little bit about these organizations.
And just hearing that, right, the genesis of and how you chose to focus on the good and bring other people into that too, who you noticed perhaps needed that too and were interested. And so thank you for that. It's really inspiring. So
Thanks.
what about, now I know this, the 50 acts of goodness that you, do you want to tell our listeners a bit about
Sure.
that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, I came up with this idea in 2017. It was actually at the end of the year, and I was thinking, okay, this feels good. I need to keep doing this. How can I really force myself to get into this practice of giving back and sharing? And so, for the first time ever, I set a New Year's resolution to do 50 acts of goodness in the year 2018. And, I don't know. To me, at first, I was like, 50 just sounded like a good number. It really kind of equates to about one big act of kindness or goodness a week. And it was actually really hard to do, but we did it. So an act of goodness was doing a volunteering activity or donating time, money, material donations. There were some really small things and there were some really large things that we took on. And we did it. We were able to work with 32 nonprofits in that year. And it was just this wonderful growing year. Of meeting amazing people and just sharing all this good stuff that they're doing. It made me feel good. I hope it made them feel good. I hope it inspired other people to feel good too. But that was the point of it.
Yeah, now are there any in particular, you know, stories within those, you know, those 50 acts of goodness or those nonprofits that stand out to you or that you'd want to share with us?
Oh my gosh, there's so many.
Yeah.
We've spent time with the Pittsburgh Food Bank. We did some packaging of food with them. That was just a really easy, great fun day. We actually went with a group of people. I found the Western Pennsylvania Diaper Bank that year. We packaged diapers for families that can't afford diapers. That's an area that I feel very passionate about, and I've actually joined the board of the Western Pennsylvania Diaper Bank. But just love that it was such an easy volunteering activity that you could do with friends.
If any of our listeners were like, huh, I would be interested in that. You know, are they able to go to a website
Oh, yeah,
for?
absolutely. I actually have shared on the Good People Network website a list of all of the organizations we worked with in 2018 and also in 2019.
Oh, great.
2020 was a weird year, as we all know. But I have a hyperlink to all of their websites on our page. These are all organizations that I've personally worked with, and I have felt passionate about, the good stuff they're doing. They're fully vetted. They're all just really great organizations I can share. I'm a working mom. I am either working or I'm home. There's not a lot of time to do a lot of other stuff. So one of the ways that I actually incorporated goodness into my home life was working with some organizations where you could make cards for people or you could write letters for people. And that was actually a really easy one. We worked with Operation Gratitude, which is an organization where you can write to service members, both veterans and active service members. Love for the Elderly is another one where you can write cards for folks who are in nursing homes. Another really easy way to do incorporating giving into your everyday life, especially with kids. The United Way of Southwestern Pennsylvania has a lot of great programs that you can follow and participate in. You could help write letters, do little care packages for the elderly, things like that. Another thing that's really easy to do is just to clean out your closets and make donations. I'm always surprised at how many of my friends throw things away when they're in actually really great, working order. So there's some free stores in the Pittsburgh area that you could take your materials to. They have some restrictions, of course, but free store in Wilkinsburg, free store in 15104, which is in Braddock, are both really great organizations that take your donated materials and they give them out to community members who maybe can't afford things, or maybe they can. There's no restrictions there, but it's a nice way to feel connected to your community.
And, that was just getting me thinking that on your website, one of your blogs was talking about if you like the kind of the right way to donate clothes or things if you're donating, which is, really helpful. So this website, it's a place you can go if you're thinking like, want to help, especially as we all know within this past year or so. But I want to do something and I'm not sure what, or I don't even know what's around here in the Pittsburgh area, or is there a certain, skill set, or what do I need to do? And you can go to this one place and find all of this information, even the ones you've already shared with us, which are just a few of them.
Thank you. I mean, we've really tried to put energy into giving resources to our friends or family or community members since I've started the Instagram, the Facebook, the website. I get messages from friends saying, "Hey, I've got this. What can I do with it? I want to give back in some way." Or my company is starting a project. We're fundraising, but we don't know who is in this space. How can we help? And I take those requests and those questions, and I love hearing them because then I can really help you decide how to handle that giving opportunity. And I encourage it. So if any of your listeners do have an idea, a question, feeling a little lost, I'm happy to help. You can direct message me, email us through the website. We're here to help inspire those activities.
But talking, I know you and I talked about this a little bit before we were talking today, but the science of giving back, however we would want to phrase it. But I just find it really interesting, and I know that obviously you do. And so you want to talk a little bit about what we're talking about.
So I'm by no means any expert in this area. I'm not a scientist. But I love reading about it. But I've been following, you grow up and you learn from, research showing that, human nature is just bad and that we tend to be self-serving and greedy. And I don't know if anyone else has heard these things, but these are the types of things that I was hearing. And I just kept saying it doesn't jive with what I see the world myself. And now I'm starting to come across research is really starting to pick up in this area to show that actually, you know what? No, we're social creatures. We actually need to be around people. It's not survival of the fittest. Research is now showing that it's actually more like survival of the most well-connected, the survival of the kindest. You'll see if you just search it online, you'll see there's different ways to phrase it. But the heart of it is that no, we're social creatures and we need each other. And our biology really reflects that. So we're starting to see research saying that giving actually lowers blood pressure. It decreases your stress hormones. It increases dopamine, which is your reward center, what makes you feel good. It can give you a sense of purpose, of meaning. It drives your happiness, drives your self-esteem. It promotes optimism. It's just all of these really good things that giving really promotes. So the science is really starting to show that it's good for you. And I've definitely noticed that myself. I said at the beginning, 2017 was a really hard year for me. I was wallowing in my own self-misery for some things, and I felt this calling to really start to reach out and to not focus on me so much as focus on other people and what I can do for other people. And I did. I really, truly started to feel some of these physical, biological things change in me. And I was a better person for it. There's a reason why, giving feels good. And it's, all these reasons I just mentioned.
And I just think, and what a lesson from the very difficult year you had, what a lesson for everyone listening about how to turn things around and how to do that. Because of course, it's so difficult sometimes when you can't see past, the everything that you personally are going through, and it's hard to see past it and see out of it. And and I think and that gives people hope, right? To say there is something you can find. And if I think it especially speaks to this year. And I think and as you're saying about how we are social creatures and what this year, this thing that the world is experiencing together, and what that, is doing to us. And even as much as we are finding creative ways, which I think is because of our need to be social and our need to connect, right? We will Zoom, we will meet in parking lots and, and be outside or whatever we need to do to try to connect with people as physically as we can, right? I think it's a real lesson. You know what you were able to do and are continuing to do. It really is.
I mean, it's such a, in my opinion, it's such a understated form of self-care, volunteering and giving. It really is one way that I've incorporated, quote, self-care in my life. And that's, kind of what we've been trying to do with the Good People Network. We've really targeted in on trying to help busy people. And to be honest, that's everybody. We're all busy.
Right.
But I kept hearing friends say, like, wow, I wish I could do what you're doing. I just don't have the time. I'm too busy. But really, because that's when you need it the most. I've found that just carving out some time for volunteering makes me feel good for all the reasons we've been talking about, but it's also a good time out of the busyness of life. And to what you're saying about, in 2020, and we haven't had much physical contact with people, it does make it a lot harder to do. I've struggled with it, and if anyone has followed our website and our Instagram, you'll see that I just haven't been posting as much. I haven't been able to do as much. We have to be creative, but where do you get that energy to be creative? So it's something that I think I'm definitely trying to figure out.
And do you think too, or if, how you could speak to that idea, which I think a lot of people feel, which is, I like you just said, I want to, but I don't have the time. I don't.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I was figuring that out at the beginning of this whole journey. Everything that I would come across, so I said, I want to do something, right? And I would go to a website and I would say, okay, what are their volunteering opportunities? And a lot of the organizations, they do need, the real manpower. They need people who are going to be committed to show up every week, and I don't have that capacity at this time of my life. I would love to, but I don't have that. So there are other things out there that you can do. I've mentioned there's different organizations that allow you to write letters to people. You could clean out your closets and donate things. There are some apps out there where you can incorporate little ways to give back throughout your day. There's one in particular. This is one called Be My Eyes, where it's an app for folks who have visual, who are visually impaired, who may need somebody to help them see something in real time. So they would call a number, and they would share their screen with you, and you would be able to provide them help right there on the spot. So just a really
Oh,
easy way to help somebody right from your home.
love that.
There's other things like 412 food rescue.
Yes.
If you have a little bit of extra time, you could just, pull that app up and look and see, is there anybody I can help right now? And it's so quick and so easy and just an easy way. I mean, in a way, I'm really excited to see how technology is going to keep helping us find ways to give back, and while we're in the middle of our busy lives. I just think that it's in this day and age where we are so far apart from each other, we're going to have to rely on technology in some ways to help bring us back together in a way.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's been such a great experience really learning about all these different organizations. I mean, people who work in the nonprofit world are the true superheroes, in my opinion. They spend so much time, sweat, and tears, and just they are really making a difference in our community members' lives. So I love meeting, the leaders, the program managers, the people who are involved every day, and hearing their stories. And being able to promote some of the stuff that they're doing, it's just been such a joy to hear of what they're doing.
Well, it's been such a joy talking to you, and meeting you and getting, I'm so glad that you,
Same.
thank you. I'm so glad that you joined us for this and are sharing all of this information.
Again, I am just so excited to be here to share with you a little bit about some great nonprofits in the area. And again, for any of your listeners who want to get involved, if you're not sure what to do or how to do, just let me know. I'm happy to help in any way. Yeah, it's been a great journey, and I'll say I haven't been here alone. My husband is just the best partner I could have ever asked for in all of this. He actually established the Good People Network as a nonprofit, which has been my dream for a while. So he has been instrumental, and my sister-in-law, Emma, has also been just phenomenal in supporting the work of the Good People Network. So there's lots of people that have helped along the way. I am just the most vocal out of all of us.
Well, thank you. Tom, welcome
Hey,
to
Tressa,
Name That
how are you?
Neighborhood.
Name that neighborhood. I'm pumped to be with you, Tressa. This is going to be so much
I'm so
fun.
glad. We're so excited. So you're the first like official Name That Neighborhood guest, because as you know, it's been my
Well,
husband for the first 12 episodes. So he's
I am truly honored, Tressa, to be your first outside of family guest for Name That Neighborhood. This is going to be amazing.
Yes, it will. So first, we can, tell our listeners a little bit about you. So what part of Pittsburgh do you live in?
So we live in Ross Township. This is a little bit of a funny story. I grew up in Greenfield on Lilac Street. After college, my wife and I moved to Lilac Street. So I spent much of my first 30 years of life on Lilac Street in Greenfield in the city. And then on my 30th birthday, the week of it, we moved to Ross Township. And then on my 40th birthday, we moved from Ross Township to Ross Township. So we stayed within Ross. But yeah, I love the city, love our region. And I think what you do and just the idea of Yinz Are Good is so important, especially right now. There's so many incredible do-gooders and helpers, as Mr. Rogers would say, that are making an incredible difference. And it's so nice that you spotlight
Oh,
them.
thank you. Thank you. It's true. There are so many, including, well, I'll say this. Okay, so listeners, Tom and I and some of the other incredible folks where he is the executive director, North Hills Community Outreach. They're amazing. And we were talking earlier this week because they're going to be a featured interview coming up here. So a little teaser there. So coming up,
This is
this is, it is.
the
And
preview,
as we were talking how it came up about the Name That Neighborhood segment and how we were, you know, we're now looking for people to come on. And Tom said, I will do it. Oh my gosh. So that,
yeah, that is,
that's how this came to be. So remember that, listeners, North Hills Community Outreach, who does, I mean, incredible work. So we'll have an extended interview with them. And so we have Tom right now. So the rules, so to speak, I mean, you know, of name that neighborhood. The neighborhoods you have to choose from are, and I do feel like I need a drum roll here sound. I'm going to have to work on that. are Uptown and Wilkins Township.
Ooh, okay. Ooh, okay.
Over there, the East Hills. So I'll just give you a fun fact and we'll take it from there. So number one, this neighborhood was once known as Soho, and many Eastern Europeans and other immigrants flocked here in the early 20th century.
I'm going to go, and I think there was a restaurant with this name, and this could have been a different reason, but on the North Shore of Soho. I'm going to go Uptown for that one.
Woohoo!
Oh, is that right? Okay. That was a little bit of a stretch, but I knew it had no connection to Wilkins Township, or at least I didn't think so.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Okay.
Nicely done. So,
okay. Yeah, thanks.
So it was known as Soho, but also before the 20th century, that area was actually known as Boyd's Hill. And
then
it was known as Soho, and then it evolved into Uptown or the Bluff. It can also be referred to. Yeah. So in the early 20th century, and as we know, there was a big influx here in Pittsburgh of a lot of immigrants, specifically Eastern Europeans, but many others. And because of all the jobs, right? The steel mills, coal mines, railroads, all of those were really building. And so this neighborhood was just bustling and very diverse. So around this time, and I'm going to list all of these because it's incredible. So all in this neighborhood, Ukrainians, Slovaks, Italians, Jews, Syrians, African-Americans, Irish, Germans, Russians, Lebanese, Lithuanians, Armenians, Greeks, Croatians, Chinese, and more. All of these immigrants newly coming to our three shores here, but all specifically in this Uptown neighborhood. And they all lived harmoniously together. And there were these 19th century brick row homes that they were living in. There were businesses. And there were even some of the very successful industrialists, of course, at the time who were living in that neighborhood as well.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot. Well, thank you. Right? That was a good education lesson for your contestant and all of your wonderful listeners. That was good.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Well, hey, you are one for one thus far.
All right.
Number two. A log cabin built in 1782 is still standing in this neighborhood.
I think my gut tells me that there was the log cabin in Uptown. I would know about it. I'm going to go Wilkins Township.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Nice. Love nice.
Nicely done. Yes. So a log cabin was built by the Linhart family in 1782, and it is indeed still standing. It is in excellent condition, by the way, because we're, 239 years? I think I did the math right on that. If not, someone will let me know. But it's in great condition. So the Christian Linhart family, so he was the head of the family there. They emigrated from Germany, and they settled in the areas there between Thompson Run and Chalfont Run. Now, their original homestead was built in 1774, and that is still there, but really probably the only thing that's original is the foundation of it, because it's a lot of changes have been made. But it was one of Christian's sons who built the log cabin in 1782. And then they went on to get even more land. There was a grant issued for them in 1786 for 350 acres. And then a couple years later, they got another 150. So they had this huge chunk of land there, and they had a private cemetery, which is still well kept, and the headstones date back to 1775. Yeah, over there in Wilkins Township.
Wilkins Township, okay, very good. Very interesting. Yeah,
right? All right, number three. Westinghouse built a metal foundry in this area in the late 19th century.
Okay. I feel pretty passionately just from driving. I think it is definitely Wilkins Township, and I feel pretty sure on that.
Hey, you're feeling that gut feeling is right.
Good. Okay. That just make, okay. Yeah. Nice. I feel like, as a kid, even passing Westinghouse type offices out there. Yeah, that felt
nicely
right.
Nicely done. Even though, yeah. Now, funny enough, this foundry was built in that Linhart area. So those acres we were just talking about, that's where this was. So at this time, so we're talking the very end of the 19th century, Westinghouse Company was growing. And in 1895, they moved part of, you know, the company to East Pittsburgh to be able to expand. And so this new plant actually, it was on 40 acres of land, was over 2 million square feet. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. And then, of course, you had employees who then made their home there, right? So it was easier to be able to get right to work. So a few hundred employees then came to that area and built their homes. And in 1900, they produced the first steam generator for the Hartford Electric and Light Company.
I've been a little lucky so far. 3 out of 3. We'll see if we can keep it going, I guess.
Yes. I love it. Here we go. From the 1920s through the 1950s, this neighborhood was home to Film Row, which was a series of film exchanges.
I have to think Uptown. I'm going Uptown. I'm not sure, but I'm going to go Uptown on this one.
And you would be, you would be 4 for 4.
4 for 4. Oh! All right. Nice, Tressa.
I left
4 is my lucky number.
Yes.
That was good. I can tell that you're into theater and an actress and a teacher of theater.
I mean, you got to create the drama. I mean,
I really thought I got it wrong, honestly, after the pause.
Well, you certainly didn't. Yes, it is Uptown. So, Pittsburgh at this time, so again, we're talking about 1920s through the 1950s, was a hub of the film exchange world. And just so for all of our listeners, we're on the same page. When you think about a film exchange, it's defined as agencies engaging in the practice of renting or trading motion pictures. And that's how you know it's that time of the century, right? When they say motion pictures as opposed to movies, right? But so film exchanges were owned and operated by the movie studios, and they used them to screen their films for the local theater owners who would be the potential exhibitors of said films. And these exchanges also housed offices, film libraries, even, you know, specific vaults to be able to store the prints. And listeners, or you as well, Tom, may be wondering, who were these movie studios? Well, they were Paramount, Columbia Pictures, MGM, Universal Pictures, United Artists, all had exchanges right there on the Boulevard of the Allies.
Wow.
Yeah. And then it was the film exchanges fell out of use once video cassettes came into use in the 1970s, because then, of course, it was no longer necessary to screen a film in a screening room. They had other ways of doing that. But yeah, Film Row right there on the Boulevard of the Allies.
That's very cool. And I obviously our region has a neat history when it comes to film and movies and television. I know you've even made some appearances in some movies yourself, which is pretty amazing.
Oh my gosh,
so and I think anything that we can do to support Dawn and the whole Pittsburgh film office team is always important. Just, you know, and you know, anything that we can do to support that industry and as it comes back even more in 2021 and 2022, it definitely brings a lot of, as I used to be on the board of Visit Pittsburgh, we used to say heads in beds, right? People staying in our region, buying food in our region, renting hotel rooms in our region, but also providing good local jobs and good local opportunities for people. One thing I would recommend to all your listeners, now you're way more famous than this, Tressa, but everyone listening to this podcast, one day of their life, they should try to be an extra for a movie. I did it for She's Out of My League back in the mid to late zeros, and it was just a really interesting day of my life. So for any of your listeners, get involved even in a small way in the film industry. It's a lot of fun.
I love that. I totally agree with you.
Wait, Tressa, when you were just talking with our NHCO team and I, what movie was it you were just recently in that? Oh, it was the Mr. Rogers movie,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
That's true. Very cool.
Yeah.
You played the mom in one of the scenes, right?
That's very cool. Yeah, so, it was awesome.
That's got to be a bucket list item. That's very cool. And
thank you.
Another bucket list is going 4 for 4 on trivia with you, Tressa. That's for sure.
I love hearing that. I mean, that is impressive. Wait till I think Don might be a little jealous. He might. This is getting shown up. I love this. I mean, this was very impressive. Four for four. Nicely done. And that is going to do it for us here. Episode 13 of Yins Are Good. I am your host, Tressa Glover. And a reminder, check out the Good People Network, their website. They are on Instagram. They are on the Facebook. Reach out to Ashley if you have any questions or need some help. I really do appreciate you listening in today. I hope you have a fabulous rest of your day, whatever day this is that you're listening. And please send us your stories. We love to hear them. We love to share them, right? We want to celebrate the good stuff and the good people who are out there. So until next time, be safe, be kind, be good. Special thank yous to Ashley Real, Tom Baker, and as always, for our most fabulous artwork, to Mike Rubino.